If you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 13. You start off in verse 17 there. It says, now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. And we know this scripture, it's very familiar. But I want to encourage you. You know, there's things that are coming. There's things that we walked through last year, and some people, they returned or they dropped back. They pulled back. When struggles come, a lot of times people draw back. This isn't a time to draw back, but to press in. Amen? You know, when they see war, when they see something, you know, when you watch a television, that's all they talk about is war. War between one another, right? War within cultures, war with other countries. This is what they promote is war. And so many times when people see it, they draw back or else fear starts to rise up on the inside. How many Christians were petrified and still afraid that God isn't big enough no matter what? Because no matter what day it is, we know we're going to be with him. Amen? No matter how many days or years that we have, but how many have saw war coming and drawn back? That's what the Bible says. And what do we go back to? We go back to our own thoughts. We go back to our own fears. We go back to our own way of life. We go back to doing things that we used to do that we hated when we stopped doing them when we got saved. And so many times when people see a struggle coming, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a struggle coming. There's a struggle coming in your life. That's what happens in life. We have struggles. Amen? Did he overcome all your struggles? Every one of them are taken care of, right? He said, you walk with me and I'll go before you. Therefore, your struggles, you already have the victory in the midst of it, even though you're going to have to fight. But just because you see war doesn't mean that we drop back. The children of Israel, the reason why, some say the reason why they didn't go straight into the promised land is they were not ready. It said in order to get to the promised land, if they went straight through, they would have had to go through Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath. We all know what happened in Gath, right? Who lived in Gath, right? That's where Goliath came from. Were they ready to go to war? They weren't ready. None of them were. They were feeble. The Egyptians were working them like dogs. They were working harder than they ever had. God took them out and he couldn't send them through a place, a swath of five cities that were ready for war, and they didn't even have any swords. They had nothing. They had some culinary knives that they were, you know, cutting things up, but that's about it. And so God did it for their own protection, and he did it for their training. I want you to know you're here this morning. And wherever you're at, we talked about vision last week, right? And you're living out your vision. Where you're at right now is the vision that you had for your life, and you're experiencing that. Whatever it is, that's what you made your focus. That's what you decided you were going to do. That's what you put before your eyes. That's what you deemed necessary. And that's where you wanted to be. Now, there are some outside circumstances we understand that guide some of that. But for the most part, where we are is what we decided, where we wanted to be. Many times we say, that's not where I wanted to be, right? But what's been before our eyes? What have we been speaking out of our mouths? What have we been preparing every day? What have we been giving our time to and all of our resources? What is it that's been consuming us because we're living that out? God knew the vision in the Israelites' hearts was weak. But God needed a time to train them. He needed a time to equip them, but he also had to protect them all the way through it. Because they couldn't protect themselves. Listen, I can't do this by myself. I need God. Pastor Fink used to always say that, you know, people say that God is you use Jesus as a crutch. And he said, no, I don't need him as a crutch. I need him as a gurney. He said, because I'm just laying down on him. I need him for everything in my life. I can do nothing without him. And, you know, and that's where we have to stand. So the Israelites, they weren't ready. They were a people that might change their minds when they see war. When you get ready for war, being in the military, you always, when you got ready to go to war, you always scoped out your enemy, right? You think God knew our enemy? Did he defeat our enemy? So he took care of that. Amen? We don't have to scope out the enemy. We don't have to focus on the enemy. We've got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that enemy has been defeated. He's under our feet. That's what the Bible says, right? No weapon formed against you can, none of them, right? So when you see war coming, you already know the enemy is defeated in that war. You already know that's been taken care of, right? When you get ready for war, you want to study the area that you're living in. Listen, is he in this place? Right, so his presence is with us, it goes before us, it's behind us, he's our strong tower. So no matter what land we walk into, he's already establishing his kingdom through each one of us, amen? Right, and his kingdom has no end. So there's no matter how far we reach out, no matter how far you run around this world, you'll never run outside of what he has given you already as your inheritance. No matter where you walk in that light as he is the light. And when you do, you have dominion everywhere you walk. So no matter what war you're going in, you already know that the enemy is defeated. God's already taken care of that at Calvary. And we already know that no matter where I place my feet, that becomes holy ground. Yeah, but there's some dark areas. But when you walk in, the light walks in. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter how bad people are. It doesn't matter what they're doing with their lives. You remember what you were doing with your life when somebody had the courage to walk into your darkness? And they said, you shouldn't be doing this anymore. How many times did they have to tell you before you decided to quit? Before you decided to follow Jesus Christ? The first one came in and you said, yeah, whatever. The second one came in and you said, get out of my face. The third one came in and you said, what's your problem? The fourth one came, it took about 14 times or between 7 and 14 times before you finally said, you know, maybe there's something to this. Maybe they're not all a bunch of wackos. Maybe there is something, because they see every time people come in, they got a smile on their face. And here I am miserable. So I want to encourage you. Go out into the darkness because you're the light. Just because there's a war out there doesn't mean we're those that draw back or change our mind. And then when the war gets stronger, gets tougher, when we get a little bit more resistance and opposition, do we start pulling back and looking to grab somebody else and stick them in front of us? Right? How many times did we do that in the past? Remember in Greenville when we had problems being the youth pastor? If things were outside of my ability to handle, because I was scared, because I didn't know, because I wasn't sure, I would say, see him. See him. And I would pass it off. See Pastor Fink. See Pastor Fink, see Pastor Fink. So I was grabbing him and setting him in front of me. And the reason why I was doing that sometimes is because I didn't know. The reason why I didn't know some of the things, because I didn't give myself completely to it. And because I didn't understand what was going on. But when the Holy Spirit comes and starts to lead us, does he lead us into the war or all the way through the war? Because he doesn't drop you off at the battlefield, does he? He doesn't say, hey, come on, we're going to do this. And he just takes you to the edge and drops you off and say, hey, you're on your own, boys and girls. Let's see how big you are and how good you are. He makes a way in the midst of every single battle. No show of hands, how many have battled with suicide in the house of God? Because it's a real thing and it's happened in many people's lives. Many. More than you realize sitting here. The enemy comes and he lies over and over and over and over and over. You know, the funny thing is, his tactic never changes. He's just a liar. That's all he is. Everything he does is based on a lie. Oh, it's real close to the truth, but it's a lie. And what he does is, when the battle comes, he's trying to get people to back away. Look at, if you're too weak, grab a hold of somebody and put him in front of you. They don't mind being fodder, right? They don't mind taking shots. I don't mind taking shots now. Because once we came over here, I kept looking for somebody to grab and put in front of me, and I couldn't do it anymore. That's a scary place to be. Because now you've got to make a decision. You've got to stand on the word of God. You've got to trust the Holy Spirit that what he's speaking through you is that time and that season, and it's now. And then it's no longer looking, because now you have to be strengthened in the Lord as you step into that next battlefield. Every husband in here, every father in here, every man that's here, listen, when you get married, you step up and there is no longer, hey, Dad, can you pay my bills? Hey, Dad. Now you got to start to lead and you got to start to step out and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve. See, and that's a decision that each one of us have to make. As for me and my house. Listen, when you get married, is there a war? And there's a lot of casualties too, isn't there? There is. Whenever you do, you step out into that place and you think, oh, I got this. She loves me. I love her. Yeah. If we only knew what love was before we got married, amen? It's a whole nother war, which we won't get into. But, you know, when you get ready to go to war, when you're going against another country, you're going to have to build a supply line for food for your soldiers. And thank God he supplies all of our needs, amen? Every one of your needs all the way through eternity is already taken care of. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wonder. You just have to expect it. So many people don't expect God to meet the need. So many run to another man. So many run to another woman and just say, hey, can you meet this need? Can you help me? But we've never talked to the Father first. Because there's a war in our mind whether we're going to make it or not, isn't there? Sure, everybody deals with that. Am I going to have enough? Am I strong enough? Do I know enough of the Word? Am I filled with the Spirit? I know I'm filled with the Spirit, but I'm not sure if enough of the Spirit is in me. There's a lot of different questions that pop into our mind when you're young in the things of God. And God says, listen, I've taken care of all of that. When you're going to war, you're going to have to check your armor. We haul it in on planes, trains, and trucks, all kinds of tanks and armament, all the natural stuff, and we're going to war against another country. And God said, no matter what battle you walk into, you don't need all of that. He said, here's what I want you to put on. I've got armor that's not of this world. Isn't that wonderful? He's got armor that is super light. Doesn't weigh you down. You can actually bend over and tie your shoes with his armor on. You put all the other armor on and you got a hard time bending over and tying your shoes. You got to take a deep breath and then try to tie your shoes. Sometimes we have to do that without armor. And then we've got to look and we've got to stockpile some ammo. Whenever you're going to war, our government is going to war. They're figuring out how much ammo are we going to need? How many bombs are we going to need? How many bullets are we going to need? How much of this stuff are we going to need before we even get there? And they figured it all out. And God's taking care of all the ammo that you have need of. He wrote it down in all of his word. Amen? Amen? It's all the ammo you need because this brings the victory in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, and then one of the things that the government always does is they always count the cost. They always count the cost when they're going in. They'll count the cost even for building a bridge. If they build one of these giant bridges, they already count the cost of how many people's lives are going to be lost building a bridge. They count and they figure that into the insurance and into the finances and all of that stuff. Our government figures in when we're going to war how many soldiers we're going to lose. And they already plan on all of those casualties. Thank God that God is able that not one was lost in Christ Jesus. Amen? No matter what, Jesus said that not one was lost that God put into his care. And so when you walk in and you step out into his care, you don't have to worry about being lost. You don't have to worry about failing. You don't have to worry about not making it. You don't have to be ones that are worried about making it home. Because when we get home, it's going to be a glorious reception. Amen? So not only did he have to prepare them for war, but he also had to humble them. They were tried. He was proving them in the desert, right? All of these things he was preparing. If you're here this morning, God's been proving you. He's been preparing you. Not everything went easy since you've been here. Amen? Look at the person next to you. Say, I've struggled with you in the past. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm sure I will with you in the future. That's right, because we're human beings. And sometimes we're fragile. Sometimes things don't go right. You don't have to keep telling people. I just said one person, all right? Some people are going like, yeah, you and you and you and you and you. Oh, I know all about you. God had to humble them. He had to prepare them. They had to be tried. Can you lead if you've never been tried in anything? Never. God was preparing each and every one of them. They saw the power of the goodness of God, and they were strengthened in their faith and their hope for the future times of difficulties and distresses. There's difficulties coming and distresses coming, but let me tell you something. You're ready. Those that are in Christ, you're ready for whatever he brings. The word came forward earlier that he's never going to allow you to walk through something you're not already prepared for. It's not going to happen. God's path is always a path of provision. Every time, if it's God's path, there will always be provision. And it's a path that he has chosen. You say, this is what I'm going to do. God says, what about me? You say, this is what I want to do. God said, what about my plan? Can I tell you that plan that he has? Oh, it's fantastic. That plan that he has for you is much bigger than what you see. And maybe you're looking at others and saying, hey, you're the reason I didn't fulfill my plan. Maybe it was a father, a grandfather, an aunt, an uncle, whatever it was. Because of them, I'm not fulfilling the plan that God has in my life because I have these things. You're a new creature. You're a new creation, a new creature. Amen? Have all things become made new? Right, so we're not identifying with what we walk through, but now we're identifying with what he has already accomplished at Calvary. Right? So our mind starts to change and we no longer have to try to become. We already are. You are who he says you are. And you can do what he says you can do. It's a path that he's chosen. You know, the wonderful thing about the children of Israel is that God already saw Egypt coming. He already knew Egypt was coming. And God had a plan already for them. Already for them. You think God knows the enemies that are coming for you? You think God knows that the struggles you're going to have in the future? Do you think he knows that when the enemy comes, which ones you're going to struggle with? Yeah, he knows all of them. And did he prepare for your victory in the midst of it all? Sure he did. So no matter what's come, he's already seen the other side. He already knew the Red Sea was going to part. He just needed Moses to stop whining. Why are you crying to me? What did he tell them? Which way were they supposed to go? He said, go forward. Go forward. And I really believe that's one of the words for the church today. This morning is go forward. Stop going back. Look, just because pain came, do you back up? Because a trial came, because war came into your camp. You got more wars and camps all over the place. Just because war comes into your camp doesn't mean you draw back. He told Moses, he said, what are you crying out to me for? Okay, now each one of us know the war that we're in, amen? And we all have different battles, do we agree? Right, we're all in a different battle. Did he make provision for the battle? He absolutely did. So are we drawn back because we saw war coming? Oh, I don't want to deal with this again. And we keep running away from it. Oh, there she goes again. I'll just go out in the garage. She says, I'm just going to go in and take a 2.5-hour shower just so I don't have to listen to him. Whatever it is, we know the wars that are coming. So we're going to have to find out what's the armor that I'm going to need on and what's the provision that God has made in his word so I can walk through this battle, we can get victory in it, and then we can go on because that's the time of trying. Because if I don't lead my house properly, how can I lead the house of God? Amen. If my marriage is out of order, then how would I possibly stand up and say, this is the way to do it? So many times we walk around in the quagmire because we take the word of God and we say, yeah, we know, but we don't necessarily apply it to that situation and say, flesh, die, this is how you'll act in the midst of it. Right? When I joined the military, they said, flesh, die. Right? They shaved off your hair. They gave you a number. You know? They lined you up. They didn't care who you were. They didn't care what you thought. Your opinion didn't matter. They didn't care what color clothes you liked. They didn't care what kind of mattress you wanted. Right? They didn't even care if you were in a bathroom with 8 toilets and no walls. They don't care. They just break you down. Your natural man gets destroyed, and your way of life gets destroyed, so you're prepared to go to war. They not only break down your own desires, then they give you the armor you need. Right? That Red Ryder BB gun isn't going to cut it. We all had them. But I don't think you're going to take another country with your red. You might shoot your eye out, but that's about it, all right? So God gives us these things, and he prepares us for war. And when war comes, the church has been turning around and walking back. The church doesn't believe that that Red Sea is about to part in your life. I want you to know, you're about to see the Red Sea part in your life. Where there was a miracle that you prayed for this morning, that it's coming. Can you agree with that? Good. Then stop whining and go forward. Don't be talking about where you failed. Don't be talking about how somebody else failed you. Don't be talking about that. You tell them what God said. My God said, hey, take that staff and drive it in the ground and watch the sea open up. That's what he said. Take my word, stand on it, proclaim it, don't move from it. Sing of your victory in the midst of it. And watch my provision for your entire life. I love March. March is a month of expectation, right? The world, in the basketball world, they call it March Madness. Yeah, well, I think some churches could be called that, or could call it that, all right? But in my mind, March is a month of expectation. Is your life like March? What's your expectation? Because we know what's coming, right? Monday, 54 degrees, baby. Tuesday, 56 degrees. Wednesday, maybe 60. Thursday, 40. But we know what's coming, right? We know the worst of it is over, and we've got expectations about what's coming. We're thinking, girls are thinking, honey, I want to paint this and this and this and this. And these are the flowers that I need to plant. I need to get my bulbs in by this time. This is what I want to do. Right? Guys, we say, I got to build a garage. I got to plant. I got to fix this. I got to. Whatever your vision is, we look at it differently. But March is a month where we start to think about what's coming. What's coming? The goodness of God is coming. Right? God's changing the season in your life. Do you have any expectations for March? Do you have are you looking at your life the same way you're looking at March? Because you already got plans for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're getting these kids out of the house. We're throwing that PS4 in the garbage, and they are getting out of the house. They're going to go out there, and they're going to go out, and they're going to get in mud. They're going to roll in the mud. They're going to eat mud. They're going to do whatever they want to do in that mud. There's an expectation of what's coming because you did the same thing. There's an expectation of warm weather coming. There's an expectation that there's going to be a change in the daylight. So we're going to get a little bit more, right? And it starts to stir something else up on the inside of us. It starts to bring hope, doesn't it? You've been locked down in the cold. You look outside. The wind was blowing 2 days ago. 4 days later, 55. Whoop! Everybody starts getting excited. You start talking to me. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good. Why? Because it's going to be 55. And the people down south are saying, what is your problem? But there's an expectation that you start to have in your heart. There's a joy that starts to come in. And I pray that that's what God is doing in your life, in him. That you've got an expectation for a miracle that you prayed for this morning. You've got an expectation that your family is going to be transformed in the name of Jesus. You've got an expectation that no matter what battle, what war comes, you're not grabbing people and just stacking them in front of you, because you're grabbing a hold of the word of God and saying, I know my God's going to walk me all the way through this. And even when the enemy is behind me, how beautiful is God that when the enemy comes up from behind, he builds a wall of fire. And he stops the enemy from coming in and destroying you. Can you believe that this morning? He's building a wall of fire between you and your enemy that's impregnable from the enemy. If the enemy tries to come in that way, God's word consumes him. And it stops him. And the enemy looks at it and says, nah. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, let's get after them. Okay. No. See, when we stand on the word of God, that's what happens. That word is like a fire. And it burns away the chaff. It burns away the lie of the enemy. It burns away the foolishness in our hearts. And it heals the heart constantly. He's always taking a healing balm and massaging every area, preparing us. Look at this, is preparation. This is acknowledging what you're getting ready to go and do. And he wants you ready. And that wall of fire is behind you. Stop looking over your shoulder about yesterday. Stop looking and telling about your failures. How about we just start to talk about how good God is? That every conversation has to do with, remember the body that was given. Remember the blood that was shed. Remember the day of salvation. Remember when God spoke to me and changed my life completely. Remember when these things happened rather than what the flesh did. And I want to encourage you. He's telling you, go forward this morning. Stop looking at yesterday. Stop crying about yesterday. Stop whimpering about yesterday. Because the miracle you asked for is coming. In Hebrews 11:31, Rahab didn't perish like the rest because of obedience. All the rest in that whole city perished except for Rahab and her family. And if God will do it for Rahab the harlot, why won't he do it for you? Amen. And all she did was walk in obedience and said, remember me. What a wonderful God we have. He's amazing. Let's stand up this morning. You know, in Exodus 13:22, it says, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the fire by night. How many people are waiting to fail because they don't think that God is going to keep the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day? Is that in your mind? That if you step out there too far, you're going to fail. I've never heard of a man or a woman that stepped out in faith so far that God couldn't meet them where they were at. And he couldn't supply no matter where they walked. I read a book yesterday. It was about a man who he was married. His wife had had several affairs on him. He went to the Bible college and they said, no, we don't want you here. You don't qualify. Go be a lawyer or something. And they asked him to leave the Bible college. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty low point in someone's life. Amen? When the church says, we don't want you. When the Bible college says, there's no restoration for you, go be something else. I want you to know the name over this church is Restoration. I don't care about your yesterdays. Your God is a restorer. Everything the enemy stole, God's a restorer in your life today. Amen? That's what he does, and he's very good at it. He's very good at it. But yeah, he was told, get out. And he left, downtrodden, busted up, feeling like a complete failure. But that's all he ever wanted to do, was preach the gospel. So eventually he went in a different direction and just fell in love with God even more, found somebody that wouldn't kick him out. I'm looking around to see if there's anywhere I'm going to kick out this morning. Nope, you can all stay. He found somebody that said, you're worth it. You're valuable. God can still use you. And that man went on to study the word of God, preach the word of God, preaching in churches of 15,000 people, watching signs and wonders and miracles happen in his life. Man said, you're not worthy. God said, go forward. Man said, the obstacles are too big in your life. God said, get ready. I'm getting ready to part the Red Sea. And you're going to walk through on dry ground. Yeah, but you know what they're going to say about me? He said, I'm setting up a pillar of fire behind you. The devil's not coming in any longer. He's already defeated foe. So I don't care what man has said about you or over you. I want to encourage you. Go forward and expect your miracle, God, to answer your miracle. Whatever you cried out for, get in the Word of God and look up what the Word of God says about that aspect of life. Whether it's the salvation of a loved one or whatever it is, you study it out and you proclaim it over your life, your house, your family, your job, a co-worker, whatever it is, study it out and say, I'm putting on my armor, my full armor, and I'm saying what the Word says, because He said, I'll have what the Word of God says. I'm finding those scriptures that I can fight with, that I can battle with, because my God said it's time to go to war, and it's not a time to back off. It's not a time to back off. There's a new guy out there on YouTube. I'm not going to mention his name because I'm not going to promote anything that isn't Christian. But I watched it in a news feed, and it's a kid from Canada. And he's all, you know, got the braids and the tats and sometimes purple hair. Doesn't do it all right. But the songs that he's singing is going against everything the cancel culture is saying. And these guys from all walks of life, he's a rapper, and all these guys from all walks of life are all interviewing and watching his song. And they've got people with other YouTube channels, 800,000 hits, listening to this guy just because he doesn't care. He wrote the songs. He's produced the songs. He put the songs out there. He's not aching to some label telling him what he can do and not do. He's got complete and total freedom to sing whatever he wants to sing. I want you to know you've got complete and total freedom to speak whatever God's Word says. Oh, that the church would look and say, I don't care what the culture is saying. I'm saying what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter how many hate me. It doesn't matter. He said, you can all hate me. You can all say anything you want about me. I don't care. Oh, that the church would say, I'm going to preach the Word of God, and I don't care. Because when war comes, I'm not backing off. I'm going forward. I'm stepping into what God's called me to do. I'm telling you. I listened to a couple of his songs. Man, I just got stirred up for the church. They weren't godly Christian songs, but he just didn't care. Oh, we got to get to a place where we just don't care what people say about us. We just proclaim the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, and today, as we walk out that Spirit, in the Spirit, Father, I pray for a fresh filling right now. Lord, and that filling would come. And when we walk out these doors, those words would ring in our hearts. Go forward. Because I don't care about what happened yesterday. I don't care what the world is going to say. I'm not interested in what the enemy is going to send at me, because I know he's a defeated foe, and I know there's a fire behind me, and I know the Red Sea is parting in front of me, and I know my God is making a way, not only for me, but my whole family. And today I have my victory in Jesus Christ, not only for myself, but as the Word says in Acts, for me and my whole family, they shall be saved. No matter where I walk, it's holy ground, and the power of God through the Spirit of God is made manifest in us so that we can walk out and glorify God in all that is said, in all that is done. Father, I thank you for each and every one here. Lord, and I pray your blessing upon them. Lord, that you would open up the eyes of our understanding. It's a day of expectations. It's a month of expectations. We know what's coming in the natural, and we know what's coming in the supernatural. Give us eyes to see, God. Lord, that with that same heart of joy that's coming because of the weather, Lord, we're going to have that same heart of joy because of salvations that are coming, because of healings that are coming, because of men and women being sent out and following and fulfilling the call of God in each one of our lives. Not one sitting on the sideline. Not one drawing back because they saw war coming. but they've been prepared by the power of your love and your spirit. Thank you for the warriors of righteousness in this house. Thank you for the plan for each and every life. Thank you for the victory that you have given each and every one of us this morning. We honor you, my God and King. We bless your holy name. We agree and stand upon every single word that was written for correction and for reproof, for strength. Father, thank you for the family of God, that each one would see the gift inside of them that you have deposited and say, how do I bring this gift to a place of maturity that the whole world would be changed through the power of your great love? Bless each and every one this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.